Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath. Thank you for the Word of God that's been lighting a pathway for us to follow. Today, Lord, as the Word is proclaimed, give us joy that will remain now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message for this morning, The Elusive Joy. The Elusive Joy. And this time of the year, for those who are serving in faraway lands, it can be anything but a joyous time to be away from home. In one stretch of my career, I was gone 3 Christmases in a row. And the commanding officer where I was serving wanted me to go with number 4, and I told him I just couldn't. And I imagine that many of the troops today experience the same thing. It's strange, but this time of the year, while I served on active duty, we would often get calls from moms and dads and grandparents asking us to have their son or daughter, most of the time it was sons, have them make contact with them. I don't know if you can imagine what it's like for parents to go to the mailbox at this time of the year and never have any correspondence from their son or daughters, mainly sons. When I was asked to do that, I would usually call in the young trooper and ask them to make contact with their loved ones. And in fact, we would often not let them leave the office until they call right there on the spot. Don't you just hate this time of the year when everybody's happy and you're miserable? Well, I've got some good news for you. For those of you who seek the elusive joy, that it's here. And it's found in the scripture that was read in Luke chapter 2. I'd like to read it again, starting at verse 8 of chapter 2. And the Bible says, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what, everybody? What? Great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" The Lord managed to bring joy to this world, where it tends to be elusive and fleeting and difficult to hold on. God brought joy to this world. And Isaiah 49 and verse 23, if you would get a more unusual translation, it says that those who hope in me will not be disappointed. You'll see it says in your Bible, "not be ashamed." Those who trust in the Lord will not be ashamed. Well, I found a version that says, "those who hope in me will not be disappointed." You see, this time of the year, you can spend thousands of dollars on gifts only to find out that it's the great disappointment. And if you don't believe it, just go to the stores after Christmas and watch them returning all of that stuff. If you want to have joy during this holiday season, I would ask you to embrace Jesus. Simple as that. I read someplace where it said this about Jesus: He will never disappoint us. Jesus will come to our parties. He will come early and He'll stay late. He'll talk to us when nobody else is talking to us. We can pour out our heart to Him, and He's never preoccupied. He always keeps His appointments with us. He never forgets us. He never stands us up. Jesus never disappoints us, never cancels out or asks for a rain check. We can pin our hopes on Jesus. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you really know that? That He loves you with an everlasting love. God found a way to bring joy and love into our world. I read also someplace where it said that God has a diary and that you are written in His diary. Do you know that God has a refrigerator with a magnet up there with your picture? And God, do you know that God thinks about you every single day? Oh, I got one amen. Who said that? Thank you, Margot. Every single day. He never forgets you. Thinks about you all the time. He never disappoints us. What a God we serve. That's why we have that joy. And you know what I like about the joy that God gives? It's a joy that remains. I want you to see this passage, John 15:11. St. John 15:11. I want you to see this. You ought to put a star by this if you mark up your Bibles. John 15:11. And I'll read it while you're turning there. These things have I spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be half empty. Is that what it says? That your joy that He gives you will remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh, isn't that a great God? Oh, what a God we serve. He gives joy to this world, and then He gives joy that remains in us. And not only that, do you know that God gives joy for everybody? That's right, the passage, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to only those in Fallbrook. Is that what the Bible says? No, it's a joy for all, for everyone. Do you mean that God gives joy to the next door neighbor? Yes, He does. How about the crabby salesperson? How about the relative that's never paid you any mind? God gives joy. Does God give joy to Roman Catholics? Are you sure? Roman Catholics? You know how you beat up on them. Does God give joy to Mormons? You mean Mitt Romney? How about Baptists of all kinds? Does God give joy to them? How about Jehovah's Witnesses? How about Church of God in Christ? How about Seventh-day Adventists? Amen. God gives joy to all. The joy that remains. A joy that no one can take away. So why do I feel so empty sometimes? Why do I feel that way sometimes? I heard someone say that if everyone in San Diego County brought their buckets from their garages and took them over to the Pacific Ocean and dipped into the ocean one bucket for each one of us, do you think you could look at the ocean and tell that someone had just dipped in there? No, you got it. You couldn't tell. That's how big God's joy is. You can't even measure it. It's immeasurable, it's exhaustless, His joy. The Bible says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." God has a big joy for you. You know our problems and why I feel so empty sometimes. I measure my joy by others' joy. You can't measure your joy by someone else's. You have to measure it by God's joy. Because that's joy that cannot be measured. Paul admonishes us, rejoice in the Lord. Have a joyful spirit always. And then I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Paul might be taking that a little overboard, wouldn't you think? Being happy all the time, doesn't that make you sick? Being joyful all the time. When you really understand the height and the depth and the length and the width of God's love, you have a joy that cannot be taken from you. Even when people try and crush your dreams, that joy still is in you. A joy that remains, a joy for all people. Well, you say, "Pastor, you're not fooling me. You've titled it right, The Elusive Joy. You can't fool me with all that joy talk. Have you heard the news lately? How about all those people who live in Iraq? Those who are separated from their families, those who have gone to Syria and gone to Jordan, left Iraq. You mean to tell me they have joy? You heard that they laid off 700 people in the Marietta area at Christmas time. What about the joy that they have? About those that lost everything in the fire? You're not fooling me with this joy talk. How about those who are losing their homes to foreclosure? There are a lot of people who are having a very difficult time making it. What about their joy? You named it right, the elusive joy. What about the gulf between the haves and the have-nots? People are trying to get joy by talking to strangers on the internet. You're not fooling me with this joy talk. Pastor, you're a killjoy. You know what a killjoy is? That's a person that wants to kill your joy. Not so much theirs, yours. That sounds like the devil to me, amen? He is a killjoy. He likes to take the joy away from us. I have to admit that it appears sometimes that joy is elusive. But it's not impossible. Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is joy." Psalm 51 and verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And then I want to read this passage for you in the book of St. John 16 and verse 22. You want to put a star by this one, if nothing else. St. John 16 and verse 22. I'm going to read it for you while you're turning there to St. John 16 and verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. What a passage. What a passage. It's a joy that cannot be destroyed, a joy that cannot be lost, a firm foundation. And when everything around us seems to be falling apart, joy will not, because we have Jesus. Story is told about little Saren, 4 years old, and Shawnee, 3. They had been saving all year long their nickels and dimes. They wanted to buy a Christmas present for Grandma and Grandpa. So the parents gave them a little extra things to do, and they worked and worked as 4-year-olds and 3-year-olds can do. And then the day came. December 23rd. That's the day they went to the store to buy their gifts. Now I have to tell you this. The story does not tell what the gift is. I know if I didn't tell you that, somebody's going to be lost and confused and upset because you didn't get all the details. It doesn't matter what the gift is. A 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, nickels and dimes, just draw your own conclusions about the gift. And so they went to the store, and as they were picking out the perfect gift, one of the children says, "Won't Grandpa be happy when he sees this at Christmas?" You know what I think we miss during this holiday season? And I want you to do this from now on. I want you to watch the face. See, that's what it's all about. See, when you give the gift, you watch the face of the person that unwraps it. And they watch your face. That's what it's about. And so that day came, and Grandma opens her gift. And Grandma says these words, "Oh, Saren, it's just what I needed. And every time I use it, I'll think of you." I hope you got that. And Saren spoke up and says, "I saved up and I picked it out just for you, Grandma, because I love you. I've just described to you joy. I know you were waiting for me to give you a definition of it. That's it." And we miss that during these holiday seasons. We miss the face of joy. The grandma said the exact word that you ought to say. How many of us have opened up stuff that frightened us? And we wore it on our face. Rather than being joyful at the fact that somebody cared enough about you to give you something. I am convinced one of the things that we will take into heaven and the earth made new is joy. I have no Bible proof. I am convinced that there will be no sour pusses in heaven. We're going to be people of joy. I've said it before. When I get to heaven, I'll have a permanent grin on my face. Heaven, eternity, is about joy with Jesus. You want to know what joy looks like and what God looks like in joy? Read the story of the prodigal son when his son comes home again. And I want you to picture God's face. That's joy. I want you to know right now that heaven smiles upon this place right now. As heaven looks into the face of each one of you, heaven is joyful. Heaven rejoices. How many want to keep that joy that Jesus gives? I see your hands. I didn't even ask you, but I praise the Lord that you raised your hand. I want to keep that joy. I'll have to admit that it is elusive. You're going to hear things to take away your joy. But do not lose your joy no matter what. Hold on to it. Fight for it. Maintain it. And if you're joyless, go bar a kid for a day. Amen? And they'll fix it. The book Desire of Ages says that we will have joy throughout eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy that comes from knowing you. Lord, I wish we could say that the things we encounter are all joy, but it's not. We encounter very difficult things in this life. But you have taken the one thing that erases all the negative things. You gave your life for us. You gave the greatest gift that could ever be given. You gave yourself for us. And so, Lord, that erases all the negativity that comes our way. That's why we can have joy no matter what. We thank you, Lord, for that joy, the joy of your salvation. We'll take that with us now and forever. Amen and amen. I'd like to conclude our service today. One stanza. There is sunshine in my soul today. Let's stand as we use that for our closing hymn, number 470, Sunshine in My Soul Today. One stanza, 470. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sun.
When the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you, and the Lord will be your everlasting life, and your God will be your glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Okay, go on with that.
I'm going to let Danny and him take one of our cars. Okay. And we'll pick it up tomorrow.
Okay.
So what?
I am ready to drop my car off here now.
So you're going to drive the black one or the
which,
little one?
You probably got gas in that one. Okay.
So then I'm going to take the black car home.
Danny, you want to come out to the car because I need to get my jacket out of there, and then I'll give you the keys.
All right.